Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Breaking News. You are here to get all the news, tea, gossip, word on the street, everything that has to do with your favorite Bravo shows. And I, Bravo and Botox, am here to give it to you. So let's get started. It is Friday, April 26th, and there's a lot of Vanderpump news. Vanderpump Rules news, and let's get right into it. So, biggest story of today that is sort of a, I think it's a big story. I saw it on Instagram. It's not floating around as much as I would have thought. It didn't get as much traction as I would have thought, but basically, Brett Kenyon, who is a friend of Ariana, confirms that he saw with his own eyes abuse of Rachel by James Kennedy and says he was an eyewitness to it. So I'm going to read you his exact comment. So basically, there was a post and people were commenting. This topic got brought up. And someone was like, well, you know, Rachel's not exactly like the most reliable person and she's a known liar, etc. And he replied and was like, it def happened. I was someone who saw it firsthand in the car one time and it was truly alarming. We need to believe victims. Okay. Listen, I've always believed this. I don't know if this is a sober and drunk thing or if he's, you know, the type of addict who becomes abusive when he drinks or uses, which there are addicts who do that and who are not abusive when they're sober. Not an excuse, by the way, just like it's not an excuse if an alcoholic drives a car and runs someone over. It's not an excuse. It's a reason, maybe, but it's their fault. And it doesn't make James any less, you know, responsible for his actions, you know, because I just feel like if this gains more traction, I can just see James going down the like, that was because I was using and because I was drinking and, you know, trying to maybe use that as an excuse now that I'm sober, etc. And listen, I'm not like one who says that you can't like get help, etc., but at the end of the day, that you can't get help for a rage problem or something like that. But at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's just kind of like, should you be on our TV? You know, how do we know you're not still doing this? How were you never? Well, I mean, we know, I guess, how he was never reprimanded for it because look at this show. Like, this show is just, listen, it's so hard because it's a great show entertainment-wise, but I just feel like the production is kind of a boys' club. At least it feels like it. I don't know if it is. Maybe I'm just assuming, but just the way they're like trying to make the Toms happen, the way they have villainized the girls or the women all these years, and like, you know, and I like to blame the men for that, like Tom and Jax. But sometimes it feels like there's things that production, like it feels like production is an enabler at the very least, right? It's like they see what's happening, but since it's good for entertainment and ratings, they've kind of gone along with it, including like what Kristen said about potentially editing out James hitting her when he was drunk. Like when we saw them at the wedding, where we see her punch him, but she says that he had put his hands on her prior to that. I don't remember if it was a hit or exactly what it was, but it doesn't matter. It was some sort of physical abuse of some kind. So, yeah, obviously, sorry, that's not like the most cheerful note to start the news off for today, but you know, I thought that was an important story, so I wanted to lead with it. The other thing that is a big story going on around in relation to Vanderpump News, I can't talk again. I don't know why. I host a podcast. I need to be able to talk. Lately, I have just been so crazy with all the stuff I have to do that it's like my mouth goes faster than my brain sometimes, if that makes any sense to anyone. So Ariana was at the LA Times Festival on books. And there's a little recap of some of the stuff she said. So I wanted to go through that. First, I want to say thank you to LuckyDuckling8989 on Reddit, who did this little recap, which is great because now we have the key points and we can talk about them. And I am here to spread them to your ears. Okay, so these are some things that she mentioned. The fact that she didn't think she could do a book alone the first time. She partly actually felt that way, but it's also because, you know, Sandoval kind of added to the fear of her not being successful at it, I guess. And then once he did what he did, it made her realize that, you know, she's strong enough to do anything on her own, including her newest book, of course. She wants to make a mocktail book someday for the pregnant and sober people. There's a good idea. That's a great idea. And you know what? That's an idea that it's like you already have a book. Here's the mocktail version, right? Not the same as Carl on Summer House, who wants to start with a sober sports bar. Just not the same, okay? I've had a lot of people in my comments on Summer House being like, oh, I live in this state, this place, this city, and they have sober sports bar, and it's, or they, not sober sports bar, but they have a sober bar with like mocktails or whatever, and it's doing pretty well. I don't think anyone is saying that that's not possible or that it's not a thing. I think the thing is that Carl has never worked in hospitality and knows nothing about the restaurant industry or business. And okay, yes, he's worked for an alcohol company. That's not the same, by the way. And then you're going to go straight to a brick and mortar thing without kind of like establishing things first. It's, and in this economy, it's just, yeah, there's problems with that. Anyways, again, just want to clarify. It's not that a sober bar is impossible. Okay, so back on track. I don't know why I'm talking about Summer House right now. I don't know what's going on. I think it's because it's on tonight. It's on my brain. And I just did the recap on my Patreon for the Summer House after show. Okay, so Ariana also says that Vanderpump and all reality TV always, and this is what she said, gives all sides of situations always and forever. Okay. Listen, I'm good with that. She was prepared for the redemption arc. I'm assuming she means Sandoval's redemption arc, because it's the nature of storytelling with this particular situation. But she thinks he's not contributing to his own redemption. I mean, and don't we all? Listen, this guy had the redemption arc handed to him on a silver platter, and he still messed it up. He's got no one to blame but himself. All right, she thought the season went differently with the girls during filming. And watching it now, she said, quote, and this quote's been floating around, so you might have heard this, I thought we were like Spice Girls. Yay. But no. That's so depressing. We did too, Ariana. I'm sorry. She was asked if VPR is beneficial to her anymore, and she had to say she couldn't comment on those choices, but she would make the right choice that worked for her if it made sense in the future. So, translation, once the show stops serving me and I am above it, which, you know, not that she's like above it. I don't mean that in like a elitist type of way, but just that like she's can move on to other things in her career. She may not need to do it anymore, which, listen, at the end of the day, that's kind of how this show started. Like all these people came on it with hopes of something bigger and like a more legit acting career, entertaining career in some way. And, you know, Tom Sandoval was always trying to make his music into something. And like, they were all kind of trying to do something. And then I think, you know, like many people, you get older. And if it hasn't happened for you, you're like, okay, what else can I do? And for them, what else is the reality TV thing ended up being way bigger than they thought. So, you know, they went with it, which is fine. But obviously things have gone in a different direction for her. She was asked if she was prepared for a villain edit, and she made a joke and she's like, you don't think I'm getting the villain edit? And laughed, fully knowing she's being seen and edited a certain way. She was very diplomatic about how the show works, though. So it felt like she either wasn't that mad or was more than prepared for it. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. See, the girls on the show know. They know they're going to get the villain edit, even after they get cheated on and treated like absolute trash. And on top of that, you don't think I'm getting the villain edit? Like, exactly. She is getting the villain edit. The problem, and I was talking about this on my Patreon today, and I'll probably talk about this point on the VPR after show too. The problem is that this show and the producers of it don't seem to realize that their audience has evolved. Not only is there a new audience, there's also audience, the original audience that have grown. Our, you know, cultural context has changed. People are much more aware of, you know, misogyny. Not that we weren't aware it existed, but people can spot it better, especially the subtleties of it. And, you know, the curtain or veil, whatever, it's been lifted. Okay. And you could tell they're still trying to do it. Like, look at this week, that stupid tattoo parlor and, you know, the Tom's getting this like cool, funny, silly guy edit, like get out of here. Okay. So she also mentioned the timing of filming so quick after season 10 reunion, both helped her healing, but also harmed it. So she said, we all saw her at her messiest because, you know, she was in that like kind of trauma, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn phase, and she freezes. So she's hiding out in her room with all of her boxes and belongings because she's like kind of hunkering down and freezing up so quickly after everything. But she's happy it helped her push through some of the awkwardness and it gave her pieces to work with day by day to heal. Well, maybe that's why she's eating takeout in her room and why she left the box there. Like, people have been so mean about how messy and dirty her room is. When you move your entire life into one room and you're not using like the living room, the family room, the kitchen, you're not using that stuff the way that you were because you're trying to like hide. Yeah, your room's going to get messy. And when you're overcoming some sort of like traumatic thing like this, you're also going to be a little depressed and sad and you may not be on your best. I just think people have no grace these days. It seems like. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But okay. So that was really it for the LA Times thing. Now, another big story, because there's lots of big stories in Vanderpump Rules world today, is we have Sandoval's lawyers responding to Rachel's lawsuit. So this is the, you know, revenge porn lawsuit. So just want to give credit to the Bravo Investigator on Instagram, which, by the way, is a great account that I follow to get a lot of good news updates. And they posted the lawsuit and it's been floating around everywhere. But really the most like significant part of this countersuit, like basically overall, he's trying to say, or his lawyers are trying to say, that she doesn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy, and also that the video was sent to him and he just saved it. Okay. So let me go over the first point. So basically, the lawyers, Sandoval's lawyers, are arguing that basically Rachel, in her lawsuit, said that the affair was open and people knew about it, including, like, they quote the part where she says, like, you know, including Ariana reprimanding them to save it for season 11. So the argument is that the affair was open in public and people knew about it. So therefore, Rachel did not have a reasonable expectation to privacy. Okay. I mean, these lawyers are going to fall off their chair. They're reaching so hard, right? Like, what is that? So does that mean like a husband and a wife can't be in this situation. Like if I send a scandalous video to my husband or not send it. Yeah. So just say I send one and then we get into a fight and he's mad and he shares it with the world and posts it on the internet. It's still revenge porn. Like whether you're in a relationship or not, is actually insignificant. Whether you're broken up or together or whatever, as far as I can tell, you know, with all the, cause like they even have all the like penal codes in here, like eavesdropping and stuff like that. And there's nothing that I can read in any of them that to me look like they, you know, give any level of innocence to Sandoval. Like if anything, it seems like, yeah, he's guilty. Okay. I mean, obviously I think he's guilty, but so the other thing was that she sent it to him and that he simply saved it is kind of, I think, is what they're saying, which no, just no. So what it says is these videos were created by Levis and published by Levis to Sandoval via a consensual exchange. Based on Levis's own allegations, Sandoval merely saved private copies of videos that Levis created and shared with him, which does not rise to the level of malice. Okay, but if it's a FaceTime, which is what we've always been told. If it's a FaceTime, FaceTimes are not meant to be recorded. I mean, you can record them, but he's recording it without her consent, right? A FaceTime is not like, oh, I recorded a video of myself and then I texted it to you and you saved it to your camera roll. No, the thing that she is alleging is that he had been recording the sexting video and that she didn't know about that in the first place, which in this case, I believe her. Okay. So it's just like, yeah, it just, I mean, maybe this is what him and his lawyers want. Like they're trying to make it less clear as to what the actual facts are so that maybe he has a better chance of getting off. So the other thing that it says in here that I was a little like, oh, was, additionally, any emotional distress Levis alleges to have suffered was also caused in large by her decision to star in a salacious and drama-filled reality television series and to engage in an affair with her friend's longtime boyfriend. Wow. Could it get any more victim-blamey? And that is so Tom Sandoval. Like, blame the victim, blame the woman. Like that is the most Tom Sandoval thing ever. So of course that's what he's going to go with. And again, I'm not saying like Rachel is a victim in general, like when it comes to Sandoval, but she is a victim when it comes to revenge porn with Sandoval. That she's a victim of. I can give her that. And I fully hope that he gets the book thrown at him. So yeah, it's a mess. It really is a mess, as usual in the Vanderpump Rules world. A mess. So speaking of messes, Lala was on Amazon Live. So Amazon Live have really become like this thing. Especially, it seems like it's like Lala and Kyle Richards who are always dropping stuff in Amazon Lives. I don't know. Maybe that's just like the universe I'm living in, but they are dropping a lot of tea. So as we know, Lala has been receiving a lot of criticism over the last few weeks for just flip-flopping, you know, coming after Ariana kind of unnecessarily, just, you know, seeming like she's giving a lot of like grace and forgiveness to the Toms and then telling the women that they're miserable and just, you know, her actions and her words are not matching her words that we've seen like last season or in the past where she's trying to say she's a girl's girl and she wants women to be empowering and supporting each other. She's also come off like super jealous. Let's just be real. Okay. So Lala has been pretty consistent on her podcast and in general lately saying that she is staying off the internet, isn't reading the comments. You know, she knows she's getting some backlash, but she doesn't know specifics. And, you know, she's asked her team like not to tell her anything. So I don't know how true that is. You know, she did double down on her podcast about like, I don't live my life based on what people think. I don't care what you all think. And the people were like, you have a podcast. Shouldn't you care what your audience's feedback is, kind of thing? So anyways, so she's on this Amazon Live, and this was just in the last couple of days. And she talks about how the reunion really shook her up. She says she's a feeler and she doesn't know how to just be quiet. She was told, you know, maybe just share some of her feelings. I guess she doesn't say who, or maybe she did and I missed it. She was told by someone, maybe a manager or publicist, that she should just share her feelings with those close to her, because I guess the backlash is getting pretty bad. And then she says, well, you know, she stays off the internet, but she knows what's happening. Okay, so what's the point of staying off the internet if you're going to get people to just tell you what's happening? Like she said, she just knows that there's backlash and that she's getting a lot of backlash. So I guess that's one thing if they just tell her like you're getting a lot of backlash. But I don't believe that because, you know, in the next breath, she gets quite upset. And yes, I understand pregnancy and hormones and I've had a baby and I know all that stuff. So I don't want anyone to be like, well, she's pregnant. So yes, that's true. And you do get more hormonal, yes, but I still think that she is legitimately upset about this, okay? I think that she does see what people are saying, and I think that she is online a bit more than what she leads on. So she says she wants to stay away from Bravo and this season because she just wants to enjoy her pregnancy. Then she starts crying and saying, this is my real life, and I know the show is too, but I just want to stay in my real life of creating my family. And says she lives an amazing life that she's gained on her own with many years of hard work and doesn't want strangers to make her feel silly or stupid. Listen, I can have a little bit of sympathy for like, she's pregnant, hormonal, and she, you know, wants to enjoy her pregnancy. That's where it starts and ends, though. She did this to herself. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to sound insensitive, but it's like, you've been mouthing off like in a crazy amount since the season started because you thought that let's just be honest here. Let's be 100% honest. Call a spade a spade. You've been mouthing off because you thought that Sandoval was going to get the redemption arc and everyone was going to start turning on Ariana because before the season started, they were. But then the season started and Sandoval, you know, screwed up his whole redemption arc, did the New York Times article and has shown literally zero growth and has acted like a complete jackass. And then you're also buddying up with Sheena, who's also acted like a jackass all season. So you thought you knew the way that it was going to go and you were wrong. And now you're sad about it because you're like, this sucks. Everyone's coming after me and I'm crying, right? It's like, but again, like she did this, she doesn't have to talk about this stuff nonstop. Like it's like she's going around doing press about it and interviews. She's talking about her podcast. Then we have the after show and the show. Yeah, she has to talk on those, but it's like sometimes less is more, you know? And now she wants to be the victim and she wants us all feel bad for her. Sorry. I just don't. Okay. Then she says she loves Bravo and Vanderpump Rules and NBCU, but this is an important time and no one is going to tarnish it. Okay. She's happy people are invested in the show, but she's not going to let strangers. And then she kind of like trails off. But I think she was saying like, she's not going to let strangers ruin it. I mean, it kind of looks like you are. Maybe this will be a lesson for Lala to like, she's very like produced and she can often be pretty inauthentic. Like instead of like she acts like she always stands by what she really believes in. But this season, it feels like she maybe played producer puppet or let herself be swayed by the potential direction things were going to go in or trying to make good drama, you know, something like that. And it didn't work out. Right. So it's like maybe that's a lesson learned for the future is just maybe stay authentic to what you actually believe. And at this point, the problem is that none of us know what she actually believes because like we're guessing that she's sometimes playing producer puppet, but at other times we're like, wait, it really sounds like she believes this. So it's like she's really screwed herself this season. But I mean, you know, like everything, Bravo, people will move on to something else, Lala. Don't worry. Okay, Something About Her is going to open on May 22nd. And the word on the street is that they had a falling out with Penny. So Penny is the chef who does, you know, who does the menu, I think, for some of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants. And she was, you know, we saw her in some episodes last season. She was, you know, helping to create the sandwiches with Katie and Ariana. And listen, one thing that people have really been asking a lot of questions about this season is when is Something About Her opening? And there have been conspiracy theories and people saying that it was all like a money grab for merch, which never made any sense financially. One thing I've realized this season is that the Vanderpump Rules audience is maybe not, at least some of them, a chunk of the Vanderpump Rules audience maybe needs to take like a finance class or something. Because between this and the, you know, the refinancing of the house and thinking Sandoval can afford it and stuff, it's just like, yeah, let's be a little more careful with that stuff. So allegedly, Penny went to trademark Something About Her. And this is what the falling out is over and has led to the delay, allegedly. Okay. So this was overheard by someone at the Valley premiere, by the way, who then, you know, reported back and spread the tea. But basically, Katie has confirmed this, though. Like, she didn't confirm they had a quote unquote falling out, but she basically did. So she was on a podcast and she said that, or an interview. I can't remember if it was a podcast, but she said they're no longer working together. And while they loved working with her, it just wasn't the right fit. Love you, Katie, but that doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess it could make sense, but you didn't love working with her. And then we kind of see that. We saw that in this week's episode a bit. Was it, or did I see that in a preview for next week? It might have been a preview for next week. Sorry, I'm blanking on the timeline of, because I did see a clip of basically Katie and Ariana talking about some of the issues they're having with Penny. So I think we are going to see that unfold. But anyways, set to open May 22nd. And it does look like, based on what I saw in that clip, it does look like there was other things, like the, you know, city made them take down their patio and then and other stuff like that. So we will see it unfold. Okay, now we need to go to Joe's Instagram Live, which, oh God, I hate that I'm even having to talk about this girl right now because she really bothers me. And then I saw her on this Instagram Live and was just like, yeah, I was right about you from the start. So Joe does this Instagram Live with her friend. Basically, this is kind of crude, so just a warning. Somebody asked her, I guess, if she went down on Schwartz. And she says, yes, she sucked off Schwartz, and why wouldn't she? He's good in bed, and, you know, she gives a little bit more information than that, I guess, and says she doesn't understand why Katie left him because he's good in bed or something like that. She says it like it's such a flex. And I'm like, Joe, it's not a flex that you slept with this guy and now he's like embarrassed by you and basically led you on for a year or whatever it was and then embarrassed you on national television. Like, wake up. The secondhand embarrassment is real. This is major pick me vibes, big time. Like, I said this from the start, this girl reminds me of Rachel. Just like, pick me and then we'll just make herself look like a fool for these guys. Then Joe, in this Amazon Live, see, I'm going back to Amazon Live, Instagram Live, calls Schwartz her other half. He's got a new girlfriend. He's got like this new 22-year-old girlfriend that he just went on a podcast with. And he's just embarrassed you on television. Like, come on, have some dignity here. She admits Katie apologized to her at the reunion. I'm sure Katie wishes she could take it back now. And says Lala gave her so much grace. Okay. All right. So meanwhile, Kyle Chan, in an interview, says that Schwartz actually pulled away from Joe because she's a liar. Anne lied about the bracelets at the singles event. So I guess she said she was gonna, I don't know, pick a certain, you know how they can have a bracelet that's like single, taken, looking or whatever. So I guess she lied about what bracelet she was going to take. And I guess that was like a sign to Schwartz. I don't really believe this either. Like, do I believe everything Joe says? No, but I also don't believe Schwartz and anyone whose besties are Schwartz and Sandoval. Sorry, Kyle Chan. I'm not saying he's like a bad person or anything. I don't know him. I only know from on the show. I do know he's best friends with Sandoval. So there's that. And last little VPR news before we go to the Valley is Sheena started following Tom's new girlfriend on Instagram. And then people noticed, started to drag her for it, and she unfollowed her. Sheena is just, Sheena, I've said it a million times, I'll say it another time. Sheena is just always so Sheena. Okay, let's talk about the Valley, because there's also big Valley news in relation to Jax. So we know that there was this whole rumor that Jax was in Toronto at a club and bar. And basically, okay, so this was posted on Reddit and then it was deleted. So somebody posted on Reddit, okay, so Jax was in Toronto in Canada, and they posted that he was at a bar and he was saying to everyone that he's for sure single. Seemed like he wanted the whole bar to know, and then proceeded to have sex with his publicist in the bathroom. Okay, so then we saw that online, if you've been kind of following this, Brittany unfollowed Jax and her publicist, Lori, who is also with the Toms, Jax, and Jax in Canada. So they were in Toronto, and then I think they went to Montreal, or maybe the other way around. So like I said, the Reddit post was deleted. However, I have an update for you. So there has now been a new Reddit post that has given us an update about the whole Lori K. Jax thing. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. So this person says, firstly, that post ruined my and my friend's plans to go out with Jax and Lori K. the following night. So that's annoying. That's why it got deleted. My friend found out who posted it and asked them to delete because they had such little chill that they couldn't wait until after he left Toronto to post it. So I guess they told their friends, and then one of their friends posted it on Reddit and posted it like right away and couldn't wait. And then I guess Jax and Lori figured out it was from them and then were supposed to hang out with them and canceled, just to kind of summarize there. My friend was given Lori K's number, and they spent the night with them at Bar Bowie. And we were going to go out the following night, but unfortunately, my live action Vanderpump Rules got thwarted due to the Reddit post, including word for word information that was shared at the table the night before, successfully ousting my friend for repeating it. This post was a third hand recounting. I guess they meant recounting. It was word for word a repeat of what was shared to me from my friend in our group chat. It was easy to figure out who this person was. I have the OG text in my group chat, as well as was shared video of that night at Bar Bowie. By the way, this person has not posted any of these receipts. They're just saying they have them. So we have to always take all this with a grain of salt, okay? Because it's Reddit. I have the OG text in my group chat. Oh, sorry, I already read that. I was also shocked on this week's episode of The Valley when I heard Jax referencing having sex in the bathroom. It seems to be his move, which is odd because a bathroom must be the grossest place. Anyways, this post is a real recounting of that night. Sorry, I zoomed in on it. Okay. If only the thirsty poster could have waited a day and been more low key, we would have been able to gather more tea. Do I believe every single anonymous tea, whatever thing posted on Reddit? No. Do I believe this? Yeah. Because where there's Jax, there's cheating. You know, they say where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's Jax, there's cheating. So if I have to go with percentages and likelihood, which is all I really have to go on in this random person's word, I'm going to have to go with that. Plus Brittany unfollowing Jax and the publicist. And I think there's probably more information that we know. Plus he's saying he's single and him and Brittany are separated. So it's very possible. Although sleeping with your and your wife's publicist is, that's low, even for Jax. All right. Jesse from The Valley posted a pic on his Instagram story that seems to show him with his arm around a new woman. So we know him and his wife, Michelle, were like the first you know, couple, new couple on the Valley to split. Okay. I can't remember if they, no, they were after Jackson Brittany, but we know about Jackson Brittany in that we've seen them on TV before. Jesse and Michelle are like the new kind of toxic couple. And he, in the picture, it looks like he's at like a table with a bunch of people, but it does really look like he has his arm around this girl and they're kind of close. And this comes right after Michelle has announced that she's dating or has a boyfriend, which is her financial advisor, Aaron Nosler. And they are, and she is very happy. So, you know, listen, they just weren't meant to be together. And as Michelle said, it, you know, her daughter's going to see happy parents instead of the two parents together fighting. I mean, thank God, because if you watch this week's The Valley, it's not good. And if you don't watch it, I don't know what you're doing, because it's this week's episode was so good. I watched the last 10, 15 minutes like five times, mostly because I was trying to break it down for the Patreon, but it was just also really entertaining. Okay. So one last thing that's like sort of Valley Vanderpump Rules related, which is that Lisa Vanderpump was interviewed and she was asked about the whole like Andy and if he does cocaine with housewives and that whole accusation from Leah. And basically she said there's no way Andy does cocaine with housewives. And she says the allegations keep coming from people who are no longer working for Bravo. And if it was happening, she would know. Okay, Lisa. I mean, I still believe that he's probably done coke with housewives, but I think a lot of people do, just no one cares. That's the thing. But I get why LVP has to, like, you know, he's a dad and all this. Like, I get why they have to maintain this. Now in Summer House news, little Summer House news here. We haven't had Summer House news in a little while. There's a lot of speculation coming from everywhere now, because this was on Dumois, that a certain reality TV couple, we're assuming it's Sierra and West, are not together. So basically, you know, word is that he is casually seeing someone else in New York, invited this person out the night of the reality TV's premiere party. And, you know, that it's kind of a bummer because we know fans are a big, or fans are fans of this couple and loving this couple. I'm going to be honest, I'm not surprised. I just didn't see it for Sierra. I just got the vibe that she wasn't that into him. Like, not because of the sex stuff, not because she wouldn't have sex with him. I just really didn't, like, she just didn't seem excited about him. And I know, like, we were all excited about him, you know, because maybe as viewers, we've had such a drought of, like, entertaining men on Summer House, and then we got these two really entertaining men, and then one of them is not only entertaining, he's like funny and he seems like a, I don't know, decent person. And him and Sierra were like having fun together and it was like nice to see it. So, you know, I think everyone kind of had their like hopeless romantic goggles on, but I never really thought she liked him that much. Like, I don't think this is going to be like, oh, he dumps her and she's devastated. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's just going to be like a fizzle and it's just not going to work out, but they'll be friends. That's really what I think. I don't think it's going to be a big drama. I could eat those words later. We shall see. All right. In Beverly Hills news, allegedly, and I do not believe this before I even tell you, but I'm going to report it because it's all over the place. So I gotta. Allegedly, Kyle will not be able to return to Beverly Hills unless she shares her relationship with Morgan. Really? Because Kyle has not shared stuff about her relationship, including her literal divorce from her husband of 20 years this season. And she's still coming back. They're not firing Kyle over this. I don't believe this at all. In fact, here's my conspiracy theory, because I love a Bravo conspiracy theory. It was floating around. People were getting kind of upset. Like, why is Kyle allowed to not share things? And then other housewives like Robin, etc., you know, are getting fired for not sharing things. It doesn't seem fair. You know, that kind of thing. Oh, why does like Jenna Lyons gets to do it and whatever? Why, like, why do they pick and choose? So I was like, did Bravo or some producer from Beverly Hills put this out as like a you know, see, we're doing everything we can. Like, we can only force them so much, you know, like maybe trying to get ahead of it. Because I bet you Kyle will continue sharing that it's a quote unquote friendship. I think that's going to keep going on for a while. So I don't know. She might just admit it and get it done with. Now that no one really gives a shit about her divorce and Mauricio and stuff, because really no one does. Like, it was even announced that she like officially was like hiring a divorce lawyer, and it made zero dent in the internet Bravo waves. Yeah, maybe she'll just admit it. Because at the end of the day, she loves attention. You know, I really think she did, which is why I don't think she'll leave Beverly Hills anytime soon. People are like, oh, she was kind of hinting that she might be done. Kyle is never done. She's not. She's not going anywhere. If she does, that would be the one thing Kyle could do that would shock me, would be leaving Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. All right, so we have some Salt Lake City news, which we also haven't had in a while. Much like the Summer House news. Sorry, I was trying to remember which show it was. So Whitney Rose and her husband are apparently on the rocks, which they kind of were last season, or that she was at least trying to make that a storyline, I think. And she's apparently looking to file for divorce as they wrap up filming of this season. And according to a source close to production is the one who has outed this. Again, this is not like confirmed or anything, but I wouldn't be shocked because she was kind of like setting that up last season. And I don't know. I did get kind of like the vibe from Whitney that she was had eyes elsewhere. I'm not saying cheating, but she just didn't seem as interested or invested in the relationship, which sometimes happens. Sometimes that can happen with housewives. Like, they get the fame, the show blows up, and then their viewpoint of their loved ones changes, or the loved one is mad at them because they're getting so much attention, or whatever the situation is. And sometimes they can work through it and come to some kind of agreement, but a lot of times they can't. So yeah. And in other news, but still Salt Lake City, Mary Cosby allegedly said the R word about Lisa Barlow's 12-year-old son. Ooh, not good. So a lot of this has been everywhere, and a lot of people are like, can we maybe just be done with Mary Cosby? I believe this story. Do I know for a fact that she said it? No, but I can just see Mary Cosby saying it, because Mary Cosby, like, she's kind of dated, like, in the way that she speaks and in her thinking. Like, even the way, like, with like the body shaming stuff, where she was like making comments about Heather Gay's Gucci top, and like, I don't think they make size 14 or whatever she said. It's like she's living in like the early 2000s, or just like another time. You know, there was a time where people used the R word kind of casually to describe, you know, if they thought somebody was like, you know, less intelligent or whatever. And it was always bad. Like, it was never okay. It was always something like, when I grew up, if somebody said it, like a kid at school or something, they would get in trouble and they would get scolded, you know? But I do remember as a child, like, you know, more kids would say it as like an insult. And then they had like, and I'm talking like, you know, like early 90s, right? And then they had like campaigns to like, let's stop saying it, you're insulting. You know, it was like that, right? You know how people used to use gay as an insult, right? Like a long time ago. And again, it was never good and it was never right and it was always terrible, but people did do it. Like, there's a part of me that see, and I'm not excusing Mary Cosby, I'm just saying, I think this is where her head is. It's like she's like living in another time with some of the stuff that she says. Like, even making comments about like, what was her name? Jenny's eyes, like slanted eyes or whatever she said. Like, it's like, how can you possibly, number one, just the fact that you think that and want to say it is gross, but the fact that you think it's okay to say it in like 2023 is so wild, with cameras and a mic on. Like, it's like, what is happening? And listen, I don't think anyone thinks like Mary Cosby is normal or that her head is in like a normal place. I don't know how else to say it. Like, there is something that seems, you know, off about her. I don't know how else to say it. But either way, like, she says these just really problematic things, and I don't think it's ever going to end. I think they're going to have to get her off TV. I don't really think you need her. Like, has she contributed some funny moments here and there, like last season? Yeah, but the best part of last season was the last few episodes, and she wasn't even in them. Like, we didn't need her on the trip. I mean, maybe we need Monica, but anyways, okay. Let's talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta. So Sheree posted a hot pic on Instagram, and Martell Holt from Love and Marriage. Oh God, what's the city? I don't watch it, so I forgot. I'm sorry, I forgot. If it comes back to me, I'll get back to it. But Martell, who was like on the season last season and was like pretending to be her boyfriend, was her boyfriend, allegedly, commented Mrs. Holt with fire emojis. So are they back together? Or like, is she back on Atlanta and he's, you know, kind of clout chasing, or like he wants more camera time? Or are they going to like play up this like storyline of we're back together? Or is he trying to get her back with these compliments? I hope not, because he's gross. Like, he's just a terrible person. And Sheree's had her share of not so great men. If she's going to date someone new, like, I just need her to pick a nice guy. Please, Sheree, please, you deserve it. Okay, let's go to Fallon. So Fallon is Simon Gobadia's ex. So Simon is also Portia's ex currently. Okay. So if you remember, Fallon was the woman that Portia quote unquote stole Simon from, which again, I don't support that narrative. He was married. It's up to him not to cheat, right? Either way though, Portia still slept with him knowing he's married. Also wrong. Now, and then a lot of people kind of justified it with like, oh, well then Fallon was cheating or something. Listen, I don't know the exact timeline. It all got so messy and whatever. I don't know, whatever. Point though is that Fallon did an interview recently and said that basically Portia and Simon were in a relationship for a year while he was still married to her. And this includes the pool scene from that season of Atlanta. So if you go back to Portia's last season on Atlanta, there's this scene where they go to Simon and Fallon's house for a Halloween party. And you see Portia like meeting quote unquote Simon, and she's there to like hang out with like Fallon and the girls. So yeah, that's a little shady. Again, you know, I'm sure Simon and Portia are going to deny this, but we will see. If Portia doesn't talk about this stuff next season of Atlanta, I'm going to be pissed, because she does that. That's why she's never been one of my favorites. She's very funny. She's very entertaining. She does have good drama that follows her around. But that being said, she tries to hide things to make herself always look like the victim. You heard it here first. Well, you didn't hear it here first, but you just heard it here. And it annoys me. So I hope she's going to bring it for next season. All right. Last but not least, we have some Roni news. And this Roni news involves old Roni and new Roni. So something for everyone. So Sonia Morgan is auctioning off her infamous townhouse on the Upper East Side after years of it being off and on the market. So it has been off and on the market for a long time. I think she was trying to sell it for like $16 million or something at one point. I can't remember the exact number. The auction is on May 29th. This is the part that shocked me. Okay. This is a multi-story townhouse in Manhattan. Okay. In the wealthy area, expensive area, you know, Park Avenue, Upper East Side type of thing. The bids will start. Now, let me go back. All that being said, this place has not been touched or updated in like I don't know, a long time, like 40 years. You know, it's kind of falling apart. It needs a lot of work. It needs like a full overhaul. It really does. The amount of money that Sonia has probably sunk into this place is just, she should have sold it a long time ago. She would have been better off. So beginning bids will start at $1.75 million. That is insane to me. Like, that is insanely low. That's, I can't believe that. Now, that's just the lowest bid. So it says 1.75 to 3.75. I'm sure it's going to go for much more. It just, like, it shakes me because, like, I live in, like, a suburb, like a normal, you know, I don't know, middle class, I guess you would say, suburb outside of Toronto. But again, the suburbs outside of Toronto are insanely expensive because Toronto is just crazy expensive. But like, I have neighbors whose like houses would sell for like 1.75 million and they're not like fancy mansions or anything like that. Like, they're like 3,000 square foot house, you know, with like a four bedroom. Like, it's not, it's just, it's insanity that that in New York would sell for that. Or it could even be thought of to start at that low. I guess it's because, like, I don't know if it's because it's so dated. I don't know what kind of, what's going on inside of it. I don't know if there's like, I don't know, is there mold? Is there asbestos? Is there like, is it like literally going to impale and implode on itself? I don't know. Or maybe they just start low and they just go nuts and they know they're going to get more. I have no idea. I will be very interested to see what it sells for. A lot of Bravo fans have been saying that we should all pitch in a little bit so we can own it and make it into a Bravo museum and host BravoCon after parties there. Not the worst idea. Okay, let's go to our last story of the day, which is, again, Roni, but new Roni. So as you may have heard, designer Rebecca Minkoff is joining the new Roni. But not only is she a Scientologist, but she is also good friends with convicted rapist Danny Masterson. And she's been friends with him for 20 years. So we know he is currently serving time for this. You might remember he was on That 70s Show and Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher got like a lot of backlash because they, you know, wrote like just some sort of like character letter to kind of support him or convince the judge to give him a lesser sentence. And then that was, you know, public knowledge and there was a lot of backlash and they did this weird apology video. But anyways, point is that, you know, Rebecca has pictures of her and him together from various events. They're both Scientologists, etc. So it just kind of keeps getting worse. I don't know how I feel about this. Like, in one way, I'm like, get her off the show. We don't need another designer. You know, and at first I was like, she's going to be like Jenna Lyons in the sense of like trying to, you know, put out a certain image so she can sell more. And it's going to be like just inauthentic and annoying. But now all this mess is happening. So I don't know, maybe they'll call her on it. Yeah, I kind of thought about that last week. I think I'm still thinking about it. Only time will tell. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. And if you're interested in joining my Patreon, which I mentioned earlier, it is patreon.com/BravoandBotox. So I hope you all have an amazing weekend. We are almost over the Bravo Housewives drought. We've got a lot of, you know, the young people shows. We've got like young, quote unquote, Summer House, Vanderpump Rules, Valley. We've got those. The Housewives shows are coming back, though. We've got Real Housewives of New Jersey starting in May. Again, I could use another one because Jersey is not relaxing. It's stressful, if anything. But I think OC is coming. I think we got OC close behind, and I think OC is going to be good. So we can make it through. We'll be good. All right, everyone. Until next time, you are now in the know for everything Bravo. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox, And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/Bravo and Botox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.